Good morning, Village Baptist Church family. Family here gathered in the congregation, as well as those joining us online. We are just extending greetings for a very good morning on what is sure to be a very cold week. Before we begin getting into announcements, why don't we take some time to pass the peace? Let us pass the peace. When you hear the music, it's time to return to your seats. I'd like to take the time to review the announcements for this morning. Just a reminder that the Worship and Music Commission is meeting on Tuesday at 7. If you have an item for the Village Voice, please be reminded that your deadline is this Wednesday. For those of you who would like to have offering envelopes, you can pick them up in the narthex. They are certainly available to you. In the send a friend a postcard, to let them know that you and Village are keeping them in prayer. So if you would like to grab one of those postcards, they're in the back of the church, right on that table. So you can grab one as you exit this sanctuary. Just a reminder, you see the insert in your bulletin, as well as another reminder that there will be a potluck lunch next Sunday, right after worship. If you would like to participate in that, just please fill out the form, indicate what you will be bringing, and that would help us a lot with the planning. Pantry donations can be brought at any time. I'm sure you noticed them collecting in the closet. Did I miss any announcements that you said?
One thing that I forgot to put on there. On the back table, there are financial statements for your giving for last year. And those are only for donations that came directly into the offering box. If you gave through Tithely, you will get an electronic notification and verification of giving in Tithely. So if you happen to give both places, you may have an envelope, and you may get an email. So just to let you know that that's all the tax business going on.
Thank you so much, Carlin. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Into his house.
Thank you. Good morning. We are here to worship. It's good to be in God's house on God's day, and it's good to see all of you here this morning. We welcome you and those who are worshiping with us online. Of course, this is a special weekend, too, because celebrating the birthday of Martin Luther King Sunday, and that's always a special time in this church because of the impact he had not only on our country, but even on the world. And so that makes it so important that we're here today. We're going to share our blessings and concerns. And those who are watching online will be muted. And as soon as we're done sharing blessings and concerns, they will be brought right back into our prayer time. But for right now, is what's on your heart today, church? Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Will you pray with me? God, we give thanks for all your gifts to us, for food and health, for each breath we take, for the gifts of your word, your love and your grace. Forgive us when we are cold or indifferent to these gifts, or when we take them for granted. As we move through these early days of a new year, God, guide us to invest our time and gifts wisely, to reduce the time we throw away on trivial pursuits, to spend more time on the things that matter and the people that matter and the things that will last. We know that you hear the heartfelt needs that are within us. We do pray today for all those who have lost someone they love, that you would speak to them of the hope of life beyond life. You would comfort their hearts. We pray, God, for all who are ill in body or mind or spirit, that they might be within your healing. We pray for those who are oppressed and heavy laden. We pray for those in Ukraine and in Gaza and all those places where war and violence rear their ugly heads. Lord, we pray for peace in our world, in our nation, in our community, and in our hearts. We know that we are so divided by race and politics and even by religion. We're thankful for all those who give their all to the struggle against discrimination and have sought change and equality for all people. We're thankful for Martin Luther King, who preached and lived the gospel so eloquently and with such courage. We ask you to grant us courage to act and not to turn away in fear when we see oppression and discrimination. Help us to live out the gospel each day. Open our eyes, our hearts to injustice, and loosen our tongues to speak out against it. Trusting that you will always be with us. Lord, minister to all those for whom we have prayed this morning. Help us to follow faithfully the way of our Lord. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Time for the children's story. Do we have any children here today? Like-minded children? Good morning. Okay. Denise, you get to participate. Hi, how are you? Your name is? Do you mind sharing? What? Oliver? Oliver, nice meeting you, Oliver. You and Carlin are our star children for today. So, and some of you back there are going to get to participate as well. Wasn't sure how many children we would have since it's cold. I'm going to give you a choice of colors here. I gave Paul hers already. Four different colors. Hope you can hear me okay. I just got off a flight, so out of can I get you to pick a color? Real hard. Okay. Thank you. All right, so Oliver and Carlin and Denise, since you're my star pupils. I have four pets. And I thought I'd bring a picture to show you. It's two cats. Virginia knows this. and two dogs. Interestingly, they get along very well. They each have a different color nose. One dog has a black nose. The cat has a pink nose. Another cat has a pink slash black nose. And then Summer has a brown nose. But they all get along so well. So since tomorrow is the celebration of Martin Luther King Day, I figured I'd tie all this into Martin Luther King Day. So we're talking about noses and getting along, okay? So, who likes pizza? Okay. If you happen to have or see one of these in the pew where you're sitting, pick it up, or if maybe in front of you, I put a few of them out. Just pick it up. Okay, so I'll just hand some more out. Kathleen, if there are two, give it to someone else. Virginia, Ron, okay. That's your new nose, your new color nose. And we're gonna all get along. But we're gonna make a point about Martin Luther King. So, who are the people that like pizza and have a new nose? Okay. All right. But we're going to practice what they called segregation. So if you have a sheet of paper this color and you want to go for pizza, you're not invited. You're not invited. Isn't that terrible? So who got omitted from? Kathleen can't go. Mark can't go. Carlin can't go. And I like Carlin. I like Kathleen. I like Mark. But they can't go for pizza. Okay. What's one of your favorite outings? Going to the park, biking, playing soccer. Biking? All right. So who wants to go biking with us? With a lot of people. Okay. Only if you have Oliver's color can you go biking. Only. Okay, we at least got Pastor Joel. We've got Ken, we've got Janet. Any more purple? Roy-Ann can go. That's it. The rest of them, no. Why? Because they don't have the right color nose. Does that really make sense? Does that really make sense? Just because your nose is purple or yellow or pink, you can't go for pizza or ride a bike with your friend. So that's what Martin Luther King tried to make everybody aware of, that we all like to do certain things together and to segregate. What grade are you in? This might be a big word. Segregation. That's what we've been practicing by saying, if you have a purple nose, you can come with us. But if you have a pink nose, no. If you have a lavender nose, or you have an orange nose, or you have this color, you can come. Nobody else can come. So, do you recognize this person? I know you're first grade. Have you seen this person before? Ah, he has. That's Martin Luther King, is that right? Okay. So this gentleman made a point to bring awareness that we all need to include everybody as much as we can. Now, if you have a sleepover, sure, you can include the entire first grade, but maybe you can include them on a soccer game or as you go biking or wherever you can. But the idea is we don't want to say you can't do it because you don't have an orange nose. And that's what Martin Luther King brought to mind when we, many years ago, he's no longer with us, but he wanted to make the point that we all need to include each other and stop looking for different color noses. My dogs and cats get along. They love each other, they lick each other, they sleep next to each other. Can we as human beings get kind of like that? Maybe not lick each other, but but at least be able to sit down next to each other and say, how are you? I'm glad to see you. Have a nice day. Okay, let's say a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for Martin Luther King's sacrifice to this country and to the world, and to the points that him and this many people that followed him wanted to make aware that our differences are so much smaller than the things we share and have in common. And let's avoid segregation as much as we can. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.
Good morning, everyone. You know, my song is called Never Give Up. And it's not about just the past, but even our present. A lot of people are dealing with depression, illnesses, struggles, stumbling blocks. But Jesus is here for us. All we have to do is open our hearts and listen. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Inside an ordinary girl, she looks just like me, too afraid to dream out loud. And though it's set for your idea, it won't make sense to everybody. You need courage now if you're gonna persevere. But you gotta keep the faith. what's deep inside of your heart to life and never give up. They'll never give up on you. People hold the pieces to deep inside of your heart to light and never give up. Don't ever give up on you. Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Jesus is with you.
Today's scripture reading comes from Samuel, 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 10. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lied down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there as calling before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." May God give us understanding of this, his holy word.
Let's pray together. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer, the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. Well, our Old Testament reading is about young Samuel, who was sent to live with the priest Eli in the temple at Shiloh. And while there he prayed, he served faithfully, and he grew up in the presence of God. And the writer of 1 Samuel makes this observation: the word of the Lord was rare in those days. One night Samuel hears his voice called as he lays in bed. He didn't understand the voice at first. He thinks it might be the voice of Eli going, telling him to go and fetch something. But no, it's not Eli's voice. Three times the voice cries, "Samuel! Samuel! Samuel!" Three times Samuel goes to Eli, "Did you call me?" Eli told the boy, "If you hear the voice again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" Well, the next day, Eli wants to know what Samuel heard in the voice from God. And with Eli's prodding, Samuel does share what he heard. He says, "There are bad times coming for Eli's house. Eli is going to fall. Samuel is going to rise." Listening for God's voice. Hearing God's call. I don't think God speaks to most of us in a dramatic or spectacular way. We may or may not hear a voice like Samuel, or be led by a star like the Magi, or see a burning bush like Moses. Most often God's call comes in the still, small voice, in very down-to-earth ways. Now, if I'd had asked Karen to read the New Testament reading today from John's Gospel, we would have read about his ministry beginning, and he's beginning to call some to follow. He asks Philip, who is a friend of Peter and Andrew, to follow him, and he does. Then Philip goes to his friend Nathanael and invites him to follow. Nathanael, of course, is skeptical and cynical. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip very simply says, "Come and see." And he does. He believes. He follows. He responds. And it changes his life. But make no mistake, responding to God's call can bring a cost. Eli's house will be devastatingly judged. Samuel will play an important part in that judgment. This is no childish, charming story of a boy with a dream. It's for adults. Years ago, the dean of the chapel at Duke University got a call from an irate parent who said, "This is your fault. I hold you personally responsible for what's happened." Well, evidently, the man's graduate school-bound daughter had just informed her parents that she was going to chuck it all and go down to Haiti and work with the Presbyterians. The father said, "This is absurd. A degree in mechanical engineering from Duke, and she's going down to dig ditches? We hold you responsible." Well, the dean said in response, "Well, weren't you and your wife the ones who had her baptized? And weren't you the ones who read Bible stories to her and took her to Sunday school and let her go skiing with the Presbyterian Youth Fellowship? You're the ones who introduced her to Jesus, not me. And the father, understanding that he had lost the argument, meekly said, "But all we wanted her to be was a Presbyterian." Eli and his family are going to suffer. Terrible things are going to happen to them. Sometimes God's call is hard to hear. But Samuel listens. He responds, and it changed his life. And in terms of Eli, Samuel told him what he needed to hear. He said what needed to be said. And that must have been very, very, very difficult. And again, as with Samuel and Philip and Nathaniel, answering God's call comes with a cost. In my ministry, there have been several times when people have come to me, young people, and they want to announce that they're thinking about entering the Christian ministry. And I always remind them, as someone once reminded me, don't do it unless you have to. Because there's a cost. Answering God's call may mean that we have to give up something we don't want to give up. We may have to say a word we don't want to say. We may have to do something we don't want to do. We may have to go somewhere we don't want to go. Now, our nation remembers today and gives thanks to God for the life and work of Martin Luther King. And he has his own story to tell about hearing God's call. He had decided to enter ministry, mostly because his father was a pastor, and he always did what Daddy King wanted him to do. He never intended to be a national civil rights leader. But through an odd turn of events, he was thrust into the forefront of the Montgomery bus boycott. As the story goes, he came home late one night, tired and scared, and the phone rang. And an angry voice on the other end promised to put an end to his life and his family's. And he stood in the kitchen, frozen in fear. He wanted to call Daddy King for reassurance and advice, but he wasn't around. Well, Stephen Oates, in his book, Let the Trumpet Sound, writes more about that fateful evening. He writes, and I quote, "He couldn't take it anymore. He desperately wanted a way out of taking leadership in this growing movement for civil rights. He sat there, his head buried in his hands, tears burning his eyes. Then he felt something stirring in himself. And it seemed like an inner voice was speaking to him with an inner assurance. Martin, do what is right. You stand up for justice. You be my drum major for righteousness, and I will be with you." It was the voice of Christ telling him to fight on, and he promised to never leave me, never to leave me alone. God was very close to him, a living God who could transform the fatigue of despair into the buoyance of hope. Martin Luther King heard his name called, and his life was forever changed. And through him, the world was changed, but at a great cost, his life. But God called and sustained Dr. King in what he had to do. Could God be calling you? Could God be calling us? You have heard the words, beloved community, often from this pulpit. The intentional use of that phrase was first coined by Josiah Royce and later popularized by Dr. King. This village church defines beloved community, and I quote this from your website, as putting love into action and pursuing justice in our everyday living, striving through our work to build authentic relationship through listening to and learning from one another and the community and the world around us, engaging in the work of transformation, redemption, and reconciliation, making this a place of love where every person feels valued, welcome, and celebrated equally as a member of one common family. My friends, that is a dream. That is a calling in need of company. We can make a difference in the world, in our day. We can do those things that help bring about the beloved community if we will. What is God calling you to do? Where is God calling you to go? For whom does your heart burst? Where do you feel God stirring your heart to act? What is your passion? Where do you hear God calling you to respond? In the area of peacemaking, perhaps? Poverty, homelessness, hunger relief, working for a more just society. Building a beloved community can start with one person at a time, with whatever God has put on your heart. And when we do what we believe is right, what we feel called to do and led to do, when we exemplify love and not hate, when we build up rather than tear down, when we focus on healing and not hurting, others will be inspired to come and see. They'll be drawn in. And as I've said to you many times already, God works through unlikely people and in mysterious ways. And maybe, just maybe, one of those unlikely people is you. In my experience, no one is too ordinary, too unimportant, too inexperienced to be God's instrument to share love. Indeed, I think God takes special pleasure in calling ordinary people to do big things. You know, people like tax collectors and fishermen. The reason I think so many of us resonate with this story of Samuel is because it's not only the story of Samuel and Philip and Nathaniel and Martin Luther King and so many others. It's your story. And it's my story. Could God be calling you this day? The Word of God may be rare in our day, but God still speaks. And I suspect God has called you to serve. And I encourage us to make this a place where dreams can find welcome soil. We don't want to be like Eli, saying to Samuel's dream, "Ah, Samuel, just go back to bed and go to sleep." We want to be dream enablers, not dream squelchers. You may be thinking, "Well, God never called me." Don't you believe it? Let me expound on the Greek, balone. God calls us all the time. Sometimes God speaks through books. Sometimes God speaks through dreams or the words of others. Sometimes through teachers. God may be stirring us up to become those who use their gifts, the gifts we've been given, to make the world a better place. I think God is seeking us out to be instruments of a new world of love. But we need to slow down and listen and watch for where and when God is calling and respond. What is God saying to you this very morning? Amen. Let's pray silently for a few moments, just moments of silence. Let's open our minds and hearts to the promptings of God. God, it amazes us that you call us. Help us to hear that call, to feel your hand upon our lives, help us to be faithful with the gifts you've given us. And strengthen us to speak up in your name, to be a part of your healing and saving work in the world, to build a beloved community. May others look at us and see your light reflected through us. In our Lord's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to sing a hymn, Beloved Child, Beloved Community. Stand if you're able and let's sing together.
There's an insert. The tune is To Morning Has Broken, so if you want to just look at the screen, you can.
Thank you.
brothers and sisters in Christ, may the grace and peace of Jesus Christ our Lord go with you on your journey, wherever he may take you. May he guide you in the wilderness, protect you in the storm, and may he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into these doors. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.